is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. I want to talk about revival, a biblical revival, a biblical third great awakening, and how this will change America. In fact, this is the only hope for America at the critical juncture that we are facing. I got back very, very recently from a prophecy conference in the Fresno area of California. And I spoke at the conference along with Derek Gilbert from Skywatch Television, Troy Anderson, who I've written several best-selling prophecy books with, and the pastor who hosted the conference was Dr. Greg Crocker. And he's the pastor of Cross Point Church in Sanger, California, near Fresno. Now, what was interesting about this conference was that, first of all, geographically, it was located somewhere, you know, in the middle of the state of California. And I had not put together in my head, when I arrived there, the significance of where the church was in terms of its geographic location. The other thing about the look he's coming with the Clouds Conference was that many of the people who had come from miles all around, they flew in from different states, a significant percentage of them were pastors and pastors' wives, even from churches in that general vicinity. And the distinguishing characteristic of the people that attended the conference is that they were open to God. They were hungry for God. They were hungry for teaching on Bible prophecy. They were hungry for revival, and they were wide and awake concerning the state of emergency that America is in. So these are all a unique synergy of, let's call them, attitudes or the state of their heart. So they were hungry, and the pastors were hungry, and the pastors' wives were hungry. That's not always the case. And so each of the speakers delivered their messages, and the messages were integrated in the sense it wasn't pre-planned to be this way, but the messages reinforced one another, like God was behind the inspiration of the topics. Derek Gilbert gave a very fascinating series of messages on the governing structure of the demonic spirits behind the Nephilim. And if that sounds out there, his approach is extremely a scholarly approach. And he basically gave a biblical defense and a biblical explanation for the activity of Nephilim or Rephaim throughout the ages based on research that he's done that has, in my opinion, a high degree of credibility. In other words, he's just not borrowing from somebody else's information. And then Troy Anderson gave an excellent series of messages talking about themes that we both write on, which is the covenant that God made with the Pilgrims and Puritans, the crisis state that America is in now, that the danger from the globalist elite, the threat they represent to our freedoms here in the United States and freedoms around the world. And then I gave a series of messages on America and Bible prophecy. And the one of the messages that I gave was the fact that when the Pilgrims and Puritans settled America in the 1600s, they dedicated America to God based on Deuteronomy chapter 28. But what a lot of people don't know is that the famous intellectual, the famous scientist, and one of the world's most powerful occultists, Sir Francis Bacon, secretly smuggled into the United States via ship large numbers of occult secret society members who pretended to be Pilgrims and Puritans and settled certain colonies on the East Coast of the United States at the founding of America. And these people were pretending to be pilgrims and Puritans, but secretly they were members of the Rosicrucian, the occult order, secret societies, and other occult groups. And they had a plan conceived by Bacon, and Bacon got his ideas supernaturally through contact with demonic powers. Sir Francis Bacon was the highest level occult advisor to Queen Elizabeth of England. And Sir Francis Bacon was mentored by Sir John Dee, who was a head of British intelligence and also a deep practitioner of the occult, and also a direct spiritual advisor to the Queen of England. And both Dee and Bacon were scientists. They knew all about physics and mathematics. They knew all about literature. King James assigned the responsibility for the translation of what's called the King James Bible. The actual man responsible for the King James Bible was a high-level occultist and member of an occult secret society called the Rosicrucians. His name was Sir Francis Bacon, yet he was the man who was in charge of publishing the King James Bible. Very, very strange. And Bacon and Dee contacted demons on a regular basis. And these guys were not wackos. They were deeply smart, well-read intellectuals, scientists, mathematicians, philosophers, historians. And they learned what they called the language of the angels. Now, of course, they weren't communicating to God's angels. They were communicating to the fallen angels. And so the language of the angels, or the fallen angels, was called by Dee and Bacon the Enochian, or the Enochian language, after the Book of Enoch. And the Enochian language, according to the beliefs of Sir Francis Bacon, was the original language that Adam and Eve spoke before the fall. And it was the language that, and when they say angels, what they really mean is fallen angels. It's the language of the demons or the fallen angels. So Sir John Dee told Bacon, he said, when we learn to understand, to communicate with these fallen angels in their Enochian language, we will be getting, you know, like a supernatural download of high-level intelligence and planning. We will be able to conquer and create a global new world order, etc. And so it was the vision of Sir Francis Bacon that he got from communicating with the fallen angels and demons using the Enochian language. He believed that America was destined to be the new Atlantis. Think about that. This is heavy stuff, very heavy stuff. And by the way, I go into all of this stuff in far more detail in my brand new book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, which is being sent to the printer this week. So thank you for your patience. It's going to the printer this week. I don't know the exact turnaround time. And then for everybody who pre-ordered the book, you will get your copy mailed to you immediately. So it won't be that long, so just be patient. And then for those of you who have been considering getting the book, if you've been considering getting the book, I'm just going to be very honest, you're going to end up getting the book. So you might as well take advantage of the financial discount off the price of the book, which is available right now and maybe for the next couple of days. And then that's it. That means if you try to order it, you're going to pay the regular price, which is fine. But if you want to get the discount, you need to pre-order now, because that door is going to close very, very quickly. And if you pre-order now, not only do you get a financial discount off the price of the book, you get your copy mailed to you before the general public can receive it, and you get an autographed copy. So you need to go to paulmaguire.us, that's paulmaguire.us, and order your copy of The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. And the website is paulmaguire.us, that's paulmaguire.us. Maguire spelled M-C-G-U-I-R-E, paulmaguire.us. So I go into great detail about the secret occult plan and history for America, and how Sir Francis Bacon and John Dee received, by communicating with fallen angels and demons, an occult vision and plan for America's future, in which America would become the new Atlantis. Now, why is that important to understand? Because if you don't understand it, then you're clueless and you have no idea what's coming down in America very soon. And it is coming down in America very soon. I also go into the book, explain why I can say that. I'm not saying that just to say it. I can document why things are going to get very intense. So the other thing that Bacon received through his occult contacts with the demons was that America was supposed to be the head of the New World Order. And so that's why on the back of the U.S. dollar, you see the occult pyramid symbol. It's also not just a pyramid symbol. It's also a symbol of the Tower of Babel. You have to get that. I explain it in the book. But if you don't understand that it's not just an occult pyramid on the back of the dollar, it's an actual symbol of the Tower of Babel, because the Tower of Babel was created as a pyramid structure. And on the base of that pyramid, on the back of the U.S. dollar, it says Nuvos Ordo Seclorum in Latin, which means New Order of the Ages or New World Order. So when you go back to the 1600s, at the founding of America by the biblical Pilgrims and Puritans, and then secretly Sir Francis Bacon sent in large numbers of heavy-duty occultists and Rosicrucians who masqueraded as Bible-believing Pilgrims and Puritans, because he was a long-term thinker and setting the stage for what America's destiny was going to be, what America's occult destiny was going to be, which is, in the eyes of the occultists, the New World Order and the New Atlantis. Now, as I explain in the book, and if you don't understand this, you understand nothing. Okay, I'll be very blunt. If you don't understand this, you don't understand anything. There are so many books out there. There are many books out there that are excellent, but there's so many books out there that are so fatally flawed and wrong in their analysis and assessment because they don't even get the beginning foundations of what happened right. And if you don't get the beginning foundations of what really happened right, you can't come up with a credible. You can tell people you did, and people believe you because they don't know. But you can't come up with a credible analysis of what is going to happen and materialize very shortly. And when I say very shortly, I'm talking about very shortly. So, why is Atlantis important to America? Why was the vision of Sir Francis Bacon important to America? This is what I talked about. Troy talked about some of this also. And then again, in great detail with documentation, it's in the brand new book, The Greatest Battle. The reason it's important is because the globalist elite today, and for the last several hundred years, the globalist elite, And actually going back 1,000 years, the globalist elite, but especially in the last 100 years and up to the present moment, have always been obsessed with studying the writings of the Greek philosopher Plato. And Plato wrote extensively about the legendary Atlantis. He believed it really existed. And when he writes about the legendary super civilization Atlantis, the philosopher Plato always points out that Atlantis was a super civilization that possessed technology, science, genetics, advanced mathematics, and the mastery of occult power. And Atlantis was ruled by, quote, seven philosopher kings. And during certain periods of its existence, it was ruled by 10 philosopher kings. Now, all the elite today, I'm talking about the heads of international banking families, the heads of the Illuminati and all that stuff, they all study Plato because they borrow their concept of rulership from Plato. And they perceive themselves as the modern day philosopher kings who rule America and rule the world as the philosopher kings ruled Atlantis. And that's their template. So a philosopher king in Atlantis was a superior being. Genetically, and many people think that they are the offspring of the Nephilim and the Rephaim. So it was believed that they were superior genetically, that they had advanced human intelligence, advanced human abilities, and they were both biologically and supernaturally equipped with what appeared to be like godlike powers that allowed them to rule and reign the masses for the, quote, the masses' own good. And so Atlantis is the story of the elite god kings ruling a society because the masses are inferior. And it's the responsibility of the god kings to rule the masses. This is in the DNA of the elite today. That's why they are obsessed with reading Plato. Now, I go into this in the book, but I also connect it directly to the teachings and ideas of people like Aldous Huxley, a member of the British elite, and he coined the term the scientific dictatorship. Now, the scientific dictatorship is basically the equivalent or a synonym to the philosopher kings. And you really have to own this truth. I mean, you really have to master it in order for you to make any sense of your reality. So, Aldous Huxley said that in a truly effective scientific dictatorship, I'll leave it up to you to figure out what nations could be considered scientific dictatorships. So Aldous Huxley said, in the truly effective scientific dictatorship, we can program men and women with mind control, brainwashing sciences. We can program them to be our slaves, and they will have no awareness or consciousness whatsoever that they are our slaves. And we can program them scientifically to actually love their duties as slaves and have no awareness of the fact that they're slaves and they're slaving for their masters. It's the ideal dictatorship. It's the scientific dictatorship. And in order for it to work, it must be managed, ruled, and run by what Huxley called a scientific elite. Now, that concept of the masses being ruled by a scientific elite comes right from Plato, because the scientific elite, the scientific dictatorship, are the same thing as the philosopher kings of ancient Atlantis. And that's what Bacon was all about. That's what John Dee was all about. And again, I go into this and I open it up for you in The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind, because it affects what's going to happen in the next year, weeks, months, number of years. See, ideas have consequences. The most powerful and the most wealthiest people in the world have certain ideas in their heads right now. Those ideas are going to produce powerful consequences that will affect you and me. But because those ideas are bad ideas, they're not good ideas, they're bad ideas, their bad ideas are going to result in very bad consequences for you and me and ordinary people all around the world. It's mathematically, in terms of mathematical, in the mathematical equation, their bad ideas will produce with 100% accuracy a very clear picture or vision of our future that we're going to live in, whether we like it or not, in the near future. And you can know what it is. So when you read some person who claims to be a prophet, claims to be a Bible prophecy expert, if you don't have a knowledge of history, as well as a knowledge of the Bible, you're going to buy any garbage that comes down the line. And people do. So, Brzezinski, who died a couple of years ago, was an evil genius. He was one of the globalist elite. He was Secretary of State for numerous presidents. He was he and Rockefeller formed the Council, not the Council on Foreign Relations. He formed the Trilateral Commission with Rockefeller, one of the most powerful globalist institutions. He was an expert on mass surveillance, mind control, et cetera, and he used the term the technocratic elite, which was the same as the philosopher kings or the scientific dictatorship, and that he advocated the use of psychotronic weapons on the minds and the consciousness of the masses in order to rule them. So you see how all these powerful intellectuals, these powerful men, were busy setting up a scientific dictatorship, or what Brzezinski called rule by the technocratic elite. And if you go back to, and I, again, quote all of this in my new book, if you go back to Brzezinski's book, Between Two Ages, written in 1976, Brzezinski openly calls for a technocratic elite that use psychotronic weapons on the masses, the working class and the middle class. Now, he was advisor to the intelligence agencies. He was the man that called the shots behind the scenes, made decisions for presidents, etc. And he openly advocates the use of psychotronic weapons on the American people so that an elite, a technocratic, or what Huxley would call a scientific elite, could rule. And you have to know this. Now, I explained all this in a fast-moving style at the Cross Point Church in Sanger, California. The people got it. Revival broke out in the church. Revival broke out at the Cross Point Church in Sanger, California, with Pastor Craig Crocker. Troy Anderson and Derek Gilbert were there. Revival broke out. Everybody was speaking on different subjects. What I gave you was just some of the subjects I spoke on. But then I ministered on revival. And we prayed, and revival happened at that church. The power of the Holy Spirit was poured out on that church. And it was a biblical revival. It was not a counterfeit revival. All of the speakers, as well as the pastor, are fully theologically trained and know the difference between a counterfeit revival and a biblical revival. This was a biblical revival because it didn't disagree with the authority of God's word. And the power of God came down on everyone that were there, including a lot of pastors and pastors' wives. But it wasn't a weird revival. People weren't shaking and jerking and twerking and all the rest of that stuff. They were acting normal, but they were on their knees, crying out to God, seeking the face of God. But there was no aberrant behavior, no psychotic behavior, but the power of God came down. With force, the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit came down. Revival broke out. People's hearts were set on fire with the power of the Holy Spirit. As we were praying, I felt led to place my hand on Pastor Greg's back. And I just put my hand on his back and prayed for him silently, allowing the Spirit of the Lord to move upon him. And then he began to minister as the Spirit of God birthed revival on him. And this man is a balanced Bible teacher. I'd say he'd be an evangelical pastor in the good sense of the word, in the sense of believing and teaching all the basics of the Bible, including a teacher of Bible prophecy. And he told me that as he was praying there, and then as my hand was on his back praying, he said he could feel his entire body tremble with this incredible heat, and he could feel the power of God filling him with revival. Now, he didn't get into aberrant behavior, act crazy. Nobody acted crazy. But genuine biblical revival broke out there, and it is going to spread. It's going to spread because God's people are hungry. They're hungry for the truth. You see, people, any Christian leader, and there were, again, a lot of pastors and pastors' wives there, any Christian leader who's even remotely paying attention knows that the deadline is due for America. I mean, we are in the most dangerous time we've ever been in. And you know what? If somebody disagrees with you when you say that to them, I talked about this at the conference, if they disagree with you, the evidence is so overwhelming in terms of supporting the idea that we are in the greatest danger we ever have been in, that you would have to consciously oppose the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of truth. You would have to consciously and with an act of your will shut your mind, slam the door shut in your mind to truth. You would have to consciously choose delusion or apostasy. In other words, you would have to, with an act of your will, deliberately and forcefully choose to shut all the walls and doors of your mind off from the endless evidence all around us that this is the most dangerous time we've ever been in. Because it's the argument of the danger is solidified. So revival broke out at the Look, He's Coming with the Clouds Bible Prophecy Conference, which illustrates another point. When Bible prophecy is taught properly according to the Word of God, and the Word of God is honored, when in the hearts of the leaders teaching and preaching on the Word of God, there is a acknowledgement that the book of Revelation and Bible prophecy is the word of the Lord. And we approach the Lord with humble, teachable hearts as we study his prophetic word. And this is the point that I'm trying. A lot of people go to churches, and some people may be pastors listening, and they're wondering, well, why isn't revival breaking out in my church or in my life and or in the lives of my congregation? Why isn't revival coming? We're asking God for revival. We're praying for revival. I'll tell you why revival hasn't come to your church yet or to you yet. Assuming the following. If you have not been faithful to teach with an open mind and an open, humble heart, if you have not been faithful to teach the entire Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, if you have not been faithful to teach Bible prophecy from Genesis to Revelation, and especially Revelation, you have shut the door to God's truth by choosing to censor significant percentages of his holy word. And when you shut the door to God's truth and to God's word, you're also shutting the door to revival. So if you're asking God, Lord, we've been tarrying, we've been praying, we've been repenting, we've been doing all this, and revival still hasn't come, it's not because, you know, I'm giving you the answer based on God's word. If you will simply obey the Lord and repent in this area, you will see revival poured out on your life, your congregation, and your church. If you will begin to faithfully and obediently teach God's prophetic word, especially the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible where God promises to pour out a blessing upon the individual or the group that is faithfully teaching, faithfully reading the book of Revelation, and not adding to it extra stuff, and not subtracting God's truth from it, and not changing God's message in it, but you're faithfully preaching and teaching Bible prophecy. Those promises are made in chapter 1, and then at the last chapter in the book of Revelation, again, it says that if you're faithfully teaching the words of this book, the book of Revelation, and you're not changing its meaning, and you're not censoring it, then God promises to pour out a blessing, both in the first chapter of Revelation and the last chapter of Revelation. God promises to pour out a blessing on the individual or group or church that reads and teaches the Word of God, specifically the book of Revelation, faithfully. I mean, the key to revival could not be more simpler. You cannot disobey God's word. Simply read the book of Revelation, because in that same first chapter, it also warns that if you censor or change the meaning of or subtract parts of the teaching in the book of Revelation, God warns that a curse will be poured out upon you. And then in the last book of Revelation, once again, God promises a blessing to you if you faithfully teach the book of Revelation. But God also warns that if you refuse to faithfully teach the book of Revelation, which includes changing its meaning, which includes censoring it, a curse will be poured out upon you, and your name will be removed from the book of life. So let's make this very simple. I go into it again in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. It's very, very simple. Here's the truth that God is communicating to you. Extremely simple. What he's saying is that he will pour out his blessing upon you if you faithfully teach, read, and study prophecy in the book of Revelation. But if you are unfaithful, you reject the book of Revelation, you change its meaning, you will be under a curse. That's in the first chapter and the last chapter of the book of Revelation. So if you're asking God for revival, but then you're disobeying God by refusing to teach the book of Revelation and Bible prophecy faithfully, by subtracting from the book of Revelation, by changing its meaning, by censoring it, you're under a curse by God. God himself says you're under a curse. So how can God pour out revival on you and your church and your people if you're disobeying him and you're under a curse? God's not going to pour out a biblical revival on a church or leadership which is under a curse that God put on them for their disobedience regarding the book of Revelation. This should be really a no-brainer. You're under a curse, so how can God bless you with biblical revival if you're under a curse. He can't. And then the other thing is, God promises to pour out a blessing upon you if you faithfully teach all of Book of Revelation and Prophecy. And that's in the first chapter of Revelation and the last chapter of Revelation. Your blessing will be poured out upon you. So, blessing can mean many things. God can bless you, a church, a pastor, a fellowship, individual Christians. God can bless you in many, many ways. But the first and most important way is when God blesses you spiritually. So God is promising to pour out a blessing upon you if you teach prophecy faithfully and you teach the Book of Revelation faithfully. That means one of the most important blessings of God, you would open the door for God to pour out the blessing of a biblical revival on you, your church, your people, and your leadership. So once you understand the plain truth of God's word, your obedience to the word of God in faithfully teaching Bible prophecy and the Book of Revelation opens the door for God to pour out a powerful biblical revival upon you and your church. That simple. Don't make it complicated. It's that simple. You obediently teach the Book of Revelation. Don't censor it. God promises to pour out a blessing upon you and your church and your people. That blessing includes God pouring out a biblical revival on your people. So it's no wonder that Pastor Greg at Sanger Church, it's no wonder that because he began to personally cry out to God, personally teach the Book of Revelation and Bible prophecy, and then was obedient to the Lord in sponsoring a Bible prophecy conference called Look, He's Coming with the Clouds, Bible Prophecy Conference, then it's no wonder that God poured out a biblical revival upon all of us during the conference and on the final day of the conference. God poured out revival through His Holy Spirit, and it was a biblical revival. So, you know, you can't mystify this and make it more complicated than it is. It's a simple act of obedience. You want a biblical revival, then you're going to have to start to obey God's word. You can't be in violation of God's word and if you, through an act of your will, rebel against God and do not teach Bible prophecy and do not teach the Book of Revelation faithfully, you've placed yourself under a curse. If God has put you under a curse, guess what? You ain't going to get no biblical revival. God wants to pour out a blessing upon you, but He says you must teach the Book of Revelation and Bible prophecy faithfully. Then He'll pour out a biblical revival upon you. So I'm going to shoot straight from the heart, and I go into all of this in my new book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. Because I talk about the Trojan horse of false doctrine and false teachers being infused in many new evangelical and seeker-friendly type churches through the Frankfurt Marxist school teachings that are being preached instead of Bible prophecy in the Book of Revelation. I hate to break it to you. Not all of you, but to some of you. I hate to break it to some of you and some of the people that you know. And you need to break it to them occasionally too. Do you think God is the infinite personal living God of the universe? He created everything. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. Who knows how many billions of galaxies exist in his creation? Do you think that Almighty God of the Bible is impressed if a church numerically has 1,000, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000, 25,000, 100,000 members in a megachurch? Do you think that God is impressed if it's 25,000 or 50,000 or 100,000? Do you really think with your intellect that that would impress God? Because if you think with your intellect that that impresses God, you are 100% a certifiable, flat-out moron. God's not oppressed with. That's like me or you looking down on a pile of ants. You know, when something is attracting the ants and you see like countless ants coming after this food or whatever. That's kind of how God looks at a megachurch. He's not impressed. I hate to break it to you. You are walking in intense delusion if you think God's impressed because somebody has a, quote, a megachurch with 25,000 or 50,000 members or whatever it is. God is not impressed. He really isn't. You may be impressed because you've allowed the perceptions of the world to mold and shape your perception. So then you're under the delusion that large numbers impresses God. It may impress you, doesn't impress God, because he owns and created everything in creation. What impresses God is if he could see one man or woman in that church whose heart was really on fire with love for him, or if he could find one man or woman in this, you know, 25,000, 50,000 member church, if he could find just one man or woman who would be willing to pray and intercede and stand in the gap, that would impress God. Having 25,000 people gather, or 50,000 people gather, or 10,000 people gather, who are essentially spiritually dead in the core of their beings, does not impress God. In fact, again, I hate to break it to you, it offends God. It's repulsive to God. Remember in the Old Testament when God said that he was searching the land to and fro, he was looking across the land everywhere, looking for a man or a woman to stand in the gap as an intercessor. Remember that passage? He looked everywhere just to find a man, or we could say a woman, to stand in the gap. And then sadly it says in that same verse, and he couldn't find not even one man to stand in the gap, or one woman. So that was, where was God looking? He was looking among his people. I don't know how many millions of people that represented it, but God was not impressed whatsoever with the millions of people who said that they were his people. That meant nothing to him because he couldn't even find one that would be willing to stand in the gap. Well, God, that's the same perception that God uses when he's looking at the gathering of his people. He's not impressed by these numbers. I'm telling you, you think it's a big deal. It's not a big deal in eternity. It's nothing. What God is looking for is a man or woman that will stand in his gap. What God is looking for are men and women that will be sold out to him, that will open their hearts to him and allow him to birth revival. And allow him to pour out his Holy Spirit upon them and in them so they can spread revival. That's what impresses God. That's what impresses God. So this is why God poured out biblical revival at Cross Point Church in Sanger, California, at the Look He's Coming with the Clouds Bible Prophecy Conference, because men and women gathered who really were seeking the Lord and had been faithful in the teaching and studying of Bible prophecy. Revival broke out. And I believe this revival will spread. And what were the spiritual dynamics that were necessary for revival to break out? You have to have a sincere passion, hunger, and desire to seek the face of God. You have to be willing to repent of your sins. But that includes the big, big sins, such as you have to be willing to admit and repent that you've rebelled from God and disobeyed his word by refusing to teach Bible prophecy in the book of Revelation. You need to repent of it and begin doing it right. That's what impresses God. That's what causes people to get favor. That is the switch that turns on a genuine biblical revival, which is the only thing that can save our nation right now. What I'm talking about applies to every single individual Christian life personally. What I'm talking about applies to every single church or fellowship on an individual basis. Again, because you bring about large numbers of people gathering, and yet most of their hearts are distant from God or cold to God, or they're not really willing to stand in the gap. They're not willing, really willing to open up their hearts and allow the spirit of revival, biblical revival, to move through them. See, America is in the greatest crisis it's ever been. This was my message. This is what my message is in the book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. So if we continue to go on in our present manner, we are going to encounter destruction and chaos like you've never, ever seen before. Now, I'm not just saying that to say that. I'm saying that based on a study of history, a contemporary study of CIA analysis, think tank analysis, other expert analysis of what sociological, economic, geopolitical conditions cause a nation or a group of people to experience mass chaos, revolution, violence, riots in the streets, or whatever. And people who have devoted their lives to studying what precipitates mass chaos understand that when there's a configuration of certain forces, certain negative consequences act. So, you have to know what's coming in the near future before it comes so that you can be prepared spiritually, physically, and most of all, so that you, once you understand what's going on, when you gather together with other believers, you can be proactive in stopping the chaos. It is not the will of God for chaos and destruction to engulf America. God has a prophetic calling on America. God has a prophetic destiny on America. And God has a prophetic destiny on you. It's the will of God that God's prophetic destiny upon America is released. Remember, this battle for two prophetic destinies began in the 1600s. One with the Pilgrims and Puritans entering into a covenant with God based on Deuteronomy 28. And then also in the 1600s, the secretive sneaking into America, members of secret occult societies like the Rosicrucians that were sent in ships financed by Sir Francis Bacon, that contained people who were pretending to be Pilgrims and Puritans, but they were really members of secret occult societies, Rosicrucians and stuff. And because Sir Francis Bacon didn't think like your average Christian, Sir Francis Bacon was a long-term thinker and a long-term planner. He was busy educating the children and educating the adults. For over 100 years, Sir Francis Bacon was secretly educating the children and adults for 100 years to accept certain principles and ideas that are occultic and that would lead into a society that would welcome America becoming this new Atlantis and the head of the New World Order. Because he had a long-term plan. He had a vision. We should have a vision and a short-term plan and a long-term plan. And if we will obey the Lord and do what he wants us to do. And that begins with becoming educated. If you have no idea about what's going on, why it's going on, what the consequences, you can't do anything. You're useless. You have rendered yourself impotent and useless because you've refused to acquire the knowledge and the wisdom and the guidance it takes to change the future. And remember what the book of Proverbs says, where God urges us to pursue wisdom, knowledge, guidance, understanding with the same intensity as if it was precious jewels, gold, silver. that we need to get wisdom, knowledge, guidance, and vision. So it's up to us, because many things are going to happen. I explain it in the new book. You can get it at paulmcguire.us. Many things are going to happen before, for example, 2020 and the election. You're going to turn on your TV. You're going to hear news reports of things that you never thought could or would ever happen in the United States of America. To put it bluntly, between now and the 2020 election, unless God's people significantly become the salt and light, what's going to happen between now and the 2020 election, to be very blunt, is that all hell is going to break loose. You're going to see riots. You're going to see events at the border. You're going to see what could be described as mass chaos events, shootings, and things of an unspeakable nature, frequency, and intensity. I'm telling you, if you don't understand what's about to happen, you better get up to speed very quickly. And the most succinct way I can say it is to tell you, between now and the 2020 election, all hell is going to break loose. There's going to be every attempt made possible to impeach the president, to create a situation that demands martial law. There's going to be every attempt made to have mass riots, mass chaos, mass disruptions at the border, some kind of mass economic chaos or catastrophe. And none of these things, by the way, are going to be the result of accidents. None of these things are going to be the result of circumstances and random chances. All of these events that are going to bring mass chaos and destruction are going to be events that have been scientifically engineered, planned, and created for the purpose of bringing America down. Because that's the end game here. And if you don't understand it, you should have understood this 10 years ago. So you need to show up and start feeding your brain some food. And one way you can do that is to read The Greatest Battle, available at paulmcguire.us. The end game here is that very powerful people want to end America as a sovereign nation and merge it into a global government, perhaps ruled by the United Nations, and they're going to use all these artificial pretenses like climate change, the economy, social unrest, social justice. Okay? So you're going to see chaos events, mass crisis events, catastrophic events. Again, I'm not embellishing the truth. I'm not attempting to sensationalize. I'm simply spelling out to you what is going to happen unless the people of God cry out to God, allow God to birth biblical revival in and through them, and to begin to be willing to stand in the gap and become intercessors for our nation, and then do those things in the physical realm that God is calling them to do, to be agents of healing and peace and the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, when you read how they planned the French Revolution, how they planned the Communist Revolution and the Communist Chinese Revolution, and how Hitler planned the National Socialist Revolution in Nazi Germany, when you read the data in my book, The Greatest Battle, on how they methodically planned and plotted to create chaos, anarchy, so that the people would surrender their guns, surrender their freedoms, and give away all their rights in the hopes that a government would be a substitute for God and take care of them. But the reason they did that is because they didn't know history. And in every single case where they gave up their rights, they ended up under the most cruel totalitarian dictatorships. And so it will be no different in America. The same lies are being peddled. The same socioeconomic events are being exploited. I'll give you just one powerful psychological transformational mechanism, which I talk about in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind. The architects of the communist and French revolutions understood there were numerous principles they used in creating chaos and revolution. But a psychological principle that they used is probably the most powerful principle that communist revolutionaries use. It's called envy. Manipulating and creating and amplifying psychological envy in human beings is the primary trigger in causing and igniting bloody communist Marxist revolutions. And what you do is you get the media and activist groups, and you begin to distribute pamphlets. Today it would be done through social media and television. And you begin to do everything you can to flame the fires of envy. You do everything you can to cause envy to boil over into rage into people's hearts. So you constantly bombard the masses with messages of envy subliminally and consciously, programming them to let envy erupt in them, constantly showing them pictures of how royally the 1% live with their private jets and multiple mansions. They're constantly shoving in the face of the poorer classes, the working classes, the discrepancies between their standard of living and the standard of living of the wealthy or the wealthy middle class or whatever. You stir that pot, and it doesn't take long for a revolution to ignite. And they have been doing that with a scientific precision. And they talk about it. This is a plan. This comes out of a playbook. Envy, the manipulation of envy. I read the works of so many scholars and historians and social scientists who broke this down. The communists knew this. They were completely aware that envy is a key component in instigating the hatred necessary to ignite a communist Marxist revolution and to destroy America. Now, I give you the most important points of envy in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Souls of Mankind. You need to read it. You can go to paulmaguire.us and get it now for a discount. Then that discount opportunity is going to close. I mean, very quickly, it will close. You can get it now at a discount, or you can wait and pay full price. You go to paulmaguire.us now, you can still, at this moment, get it at a discount. And you need to educate yourself so that you can educate others. And then you need to act accordingly. And then you need to pray and hold real intercession groups. Because ultimately the battle is spiritual. That doesn't mean we don't have practical things that we must do in the physical environment. We must do those things. But we must also have the supernatural power of God, which comes about when we call upon God and we ask God to send a biblical revival in our own personal lives and upon the church. When God's people are filled with power from on high, when the Holy Spirit of revival, a biblical Holy Spirit of revival, is poured out upon them, then there's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Then there's the anointing of supernatural power that causes demonic powers to flee. The supernatural power of God poured out on his people causes the ruling territorial spirits, like the territorial spirits of the Prince of Persia and the Prince of Greece that Daniel had to deal with. In America, there's powerful principalities and powers, territorial spirits over cities and regions that are ruling demonically in the invisible realm. they have to be toppled. Not every battle has to do with PR and campaign money. We must engage in a spiritual battle and topple these principalities and powers. And the way we do that is when we're filled with a greater power, power from on high. I encourage you to visit paulmaguire.us, that's paulmaguire.us, for more information. And we have tons of free information. Go to our Roku channel. There's like 150 hours of teaching on these kinds of subjects for free. Go to the Roku channel at paulmaguire.us. Come to our next Paradise Mountain Church meeting, which is in about a week or 2 weeks. The exact date is on paulmaguire.us. Then, obey the Lord, walk in revival, and then pass the torch on to other people. Spread this thing virally by sending out the links. When you catch fire, other people catch fire. When you're cold, other people will be cold. Whatever you got is contagious. If you're like a bored, sleepy Christian, well, then you're going to infect others with your boredom and sleepiness. If you're on fire Christian, walking in biblical revival, well, guess what? The biblical revival is contagious. It spread, it ignited, it hit, and it spread at the Look at He's Coming with the Clouds Bible Prophecy Conference in Sanger, California. Spread this revival. God bless you. I'm Paul Maguire.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity. And the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.